You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. See where
I live. IGN GameScoop.
Gruesome opening to the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Jared Petty,
Scoop.
Sam Claiborne.
Gruesome.
We screw some indeed. We got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about the Wii U. We're going to talk about Tomb Raider. Ooh. But first, this year is the 20th anniversary of IGN. It's my 10-year anniversary of IGN. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time sort of looking back on our history. Do you guys know what this month is the 10-year anniversary of?
Here at IGN? Like in
no, just
office?
in the video game
In
land.
The video game space?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So November 2006.
GameScoops.
Yeah, yep. that's the PS3.
November 2006 was the release of PS3 and the Wii.
The Wii. Okay.
Right.
Two big systems released 10 years ago this month.
Mm-hmm. Remember Excite Truck?
Excite Truck was a launch game for the Wii. Yeah.
Excite Truck was a fun game.
It was the first game I played on
the Wii. Had an excellent launch and early release lineup.
Like, that's why I want to talk about it. It's a good opportunity to look back on the launch of these two systems, which are, they could not be more different. Yeah. The release of the PlayStation 3 and the Wii.
One of them was $8,000.
Yep.
Yeah. But that's the price of a fine steak, whereas you could just buy a burger.
Remember yeah, that that's true. I remember price? That. That's right.
People will get a second job.
Just right. That's right.
It's crazy. Like pretty much all the news about the PlayStation 3 launch was bad.
Well,
and it had been bad ever since they revealed the system at E3 that year and revealed that it was going to be $600.
What a turnaround story. Yeah. I mean, by the end of the generation.
Well, yeah. If you look at them today.
That never caught up to its competitors, though.
Well, no, that's not true. It did. I mean, not the Wii, but it passed the Xbox 360 eventually.
Did it
in
really?
In worldwide sales.
Yeah. Worldwide
and that's
sales.
Because the three,
Xbox,
you know, Xbox
has nothing in Japan.
Nothing in Japan.
Remember the old racks that they would show of the Xbox's launch in Japan?
Yeah.
It's like, please play these games.
I lived in Japan when the Xbox was a going concern.
Really?
Yeah, the Xbox 360.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was interesting. It was the hardcore gamer system there, right?
Yeah.
It was very marginal, but I had a student that had one and he loved it. And it was just this kind of like
so
badge
cool.
of honor
one
for
of
him.
500
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
PS3 $600, but Sony was still losing up to $300 on every system sold because the Xbox 360 was pretty much a PC. It was super easy to develop for.
There were two versions, though. So
yeah, but one of them was like.
But the internal,
was,
like
was
the CPU.
Was one more expensive than $600?
No, that was That's like the main, like the high end.
The 600 was the high end.
That was the one you wanted.
Okay. That was the 80 gigabyte
mine,
one, and there's the 20 gigabyte one.
Yeah.
I got one not quite that launch week, but like December, the next month, and I got it for $400 because I opened a Sony credit card and they had some special.
Oh, nice.
They had some special something.
I can't
believe
you got one, because I remember that I was trying to do the lines for the PS3.
What do you mean the lines? You're waiting in line?
That was one of the first times I remember for console launches, there's people lining up.
Yeah.
And I lived in Arizona. It was still freezing out. Mm. It was so cold that fall. And there's pictures of people in lines and stuff. And I remember like two nights before at Target, there's people lined up to get their PlayStations, and sure enough, like they were able to sell them for like $2,000, $2,500. Mm-hmm. So the flipping price, because they were so scarce, was even more. So I'm surprised you got one.
Well, the cost was indefensible. The marketing around the cost was even worse when they were saying things like, it's probably not expensive enough. But we are talking about the comparison to the Xbox. I mean, the fact is that scientifically, 110% of all original Xbox 360s broke within 6 months of being purchased.
Yeah, that's
whereupon the PS3 had a much lower failure rate.
That's true.
Mine broke. Several of yours. But you worked at IGN, so you were here when they were all breaking all the time.
The Xbox. Oh my! Yeah. I thought you were saying PS3. My PS3 broke. I got they had a much less common, but they had a yellow light of death, and mine got the.
I remember the yellow.
Anecdotally, they did seem to die far less often than the 360. What
did I?
Yeah, the 360.
Did it die?
No, my 360 endured, but I didn't. But I didn't. But I didn't have a launch. But I didn't have a launch 360.
I did the towel trick to extend the life of my 360.
You did. I was going to ask. You did the towel.
The towel trick. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that reheated the glue on the motherboard or something.
I don't remember exactly what it was doing.
Evil.
It was settling. You wanted it. It was counterintuitive, but you needed to get your console hotter in order to do something internally and make it okay.
It was to reseat the actual chip on the motherboard. Mm-hmm.
So the PS3 had the Cell processor, and it was difficult to develop for. At the time of the PS3 launch, the site iSupply got one and tore it down, looked at all the components, and they said at the time, there is nothing cheap about the PlayStation 3 design. This is not an adaptive PC design. Even beyond the major chips in the PlayStation 3, the other components seemed to also be expensive and somewhat exotic. Mm-hmm. So it was like really expensive to manufacture and difficult to develop for. Thusly, PS3 versions of games would frequently experience performance issues.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was a whole bespoke like console. That was the problem. They did everything custom, but to no advantage.
Yeah,
like, it wasn't any more powerful. It was marginally more powerful, but only if developers knew what they were doing.
Yeah, when we reviewed games that were cross-platform, every once in a while, you'd see, I remember IGN would say, the PlayStation 3 version does look better, but it would have running issues.
We had the strength of those beautiful, you know, Sony exclusives eventually that took advantage of what it could do. And look at what Naughty Dog was able to do with the thing, for example. Yeah. I mean, it was a truly powerful system, but you couldn't get your head around it. Very much like the Sega Saturn in that regard, I think. It was just kind of this weird,
every scoop.
Gotta have the Sega Saturn. But I remember hearing those comparisons the first couple of years the thing was out. I legitimately thought it was doomed, like the first couple of years.
It seemed bad at the time. The PS3 launch lineup was, let's say, Resistance. Less than stellar.
Yeah.
There were three first party games: Resistance, Fall of Man, NBA 07, and Genji Days of the Blade.
Forgot about
nobody remembers that game.
Pretty early?
No, I don't think so.
I think that was later.
That was later.
Okay. Man, Resistance.
And then there are some third-party ports of games.
I liked Resistance.
Three games, though.
But it didn't make me want to buy a console.
That Resistance, like Sony fans, you know, some of which I know and are friends with, try to convince themselves and convince others those games are good. That game is not anywhere near a top-tier shooter franchise.
It's like a Halo.
I like Resistance, too.
Resistance. At least it's not Killzone.
At least it's not Killzone.
Killzone's pretty bland.
The PS3,
I don't like Killzone.
The PS3 launch marketing campaign ignored the games that were available and instead focused on showing you like creepy dolls.
That floating
baby
head.
Yeah, it was like it was a really weird ad campaign.
How did they survive this?
Right?
How?
It was crazy.
You know, by then too, 100% of people I knew that had an Xbox were playing online like crazy and had Xbox Live, and they were all friends with each other, and nobody had that infrastructure and PlayStation.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It was really hard to get people to play Resistance or especially cross or games that were on both platforms.
And yet, fast forward to the end of the
PSN
generation.
PSN was free, which was nice.
Yeah, that was free.
That was nice. That was good.
All Wi-Fi, too. Remember that?
No.
Like it came with Wi-Fi in it.
That's right, which Xbox didn't originally. That's right.
That's true.
Now, fast forward though to the end of that generation.
No, we're not there yet. We're not fast forwarding.
So excited.
So the PS3 launched.
I want to say nice things about it.
The PS3 launched first in Japan. It was a couple weeks in Japan before it came out here. Somehow in Japan, it sold less than one game per console.
and it didn't
include a game. So some people were just buying the PS3 and not buying a game.
Well, let's watch Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, Blu-ray, you're right.
It is a Blu-ray player.
That was my excuse to get a PS3 was I was like, well, I'm going to have to get a Blu-ray player anyway. Might as well make it a PS3.
Yeah.
What about your HD DVD collection?
Aw.
Also, let's not forget that early run of PS3s had the Emotion Engine chip in them. And were remain in many cases the only way to play some PS2 games in an upscaled HD type experience.
That looks great.
Yeah. Look really beautiful.
So of course
you want the 60 gig model. That's the one that combined everything. Yeah.
And that's why
hard drive right
when
there.
My PS3 had the yellow light of death, it was crazy expensive to repair it instead of getting a new one. Mm-hmm. And I could have got a new one for like less money and a bigger hard drive. Maybe not less money, but you know, comparable. And I chose to repair my old one instead because it was backwards compatible.
Now it's just in a box.
And then it broke again.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Crap.
So even though the PS3 definitely stumbled out of the gate, eventually, over years, Sony was able to turn the ship around and would go on to sell 80 million PlayStation 3s worldwide. And the day before the PS3 launched in Japan, back in 2006, columnist Rob Fahey at GamesIndustry.biz wrote, "It's been a long, torturous road, but even the console's most ardent critics should find it in themselves to raise the glass to Sony and the PS3 this Saturday. Competition will benefit everyone after all, and regardless of your views on the different platforms, there is no question that the next 5 years will be one of the most competitive and hence the most creative in the history of the interactive medium." And I do think that generation, PS3, Xbox 360, and Wii, did see some of the best games of all time released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's definitely true.
That's that little kink story. That's my Sega Saturn.
Every
GameScoop.
Now, on the flip side, the Wii.
Woo!
That same month, it was $250. Yep. It was the least expensive of all the consoles, and still...
But it cost everybody $700.
$250 with a pack-in.
It was sold at a profit from day one. Nintendo sold over 100 million Wiis and made a profit on every single one.
Yeah, yep.
That's really cool.
Which is why Nintendo still has loads of cash to sit on.
Why we all wanted the Wii U was a little bit the Wii Sports, but a lot Zelda.
So their launch lineup had Twilight Princess, came with Wii Sports, and then there was Excite Truck also, which is
Red
pretty
Steel.
Good.
Red
Steel? Yep.
Not a launch game.
Really? It wasn't?
No,
that was a window. That was a window game.
What about the Wario one?
I don't know. I think
Smooth Moves was early the next year.
Rayman's Raven Rabbits.
Yeah,
was a
so
good
there were a lot of
game.
Like third parties. There was like Trauma Center. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was that Konami game that, about Killa Bits or something.
Elebits was there. No, there was a really good launch, and again, you stretch out to that launch window lineup, and it got even better. But Zelda was the showstopper.
The Wii was delightful from day one, before we all kind of figured out that motion control was a gimmick until the Wii Motion Plus. Then that was what turned it into a real thing. But before we figured that out, when you were playing, I was alternating between Zelda and Wii Sports, which are two they're palate cleansers for each other, and it was it was really, really great.
Do you remember just creating Mies with friends?
I made my mom, we made all our families.
Now I'm sick of them.
My friends from Washington came down for Thanksgiving. They brought their launch day Wii with them, and they brought a projector, a wall projector. We shot it up on the wall of our house and played four-player Wii Sports together all afternoon and made Wii. I was just like, this is the most fun I've had with a video game in a decade.
It started the tradition of Nintendo having just excellent shop and menu music.
And Virtual Console, that was it. Oh, my gosh.
Man, you keep jumping ahead of me.
Oh, sorry.
There are 23 games available at launch with the Wii. And, I had forgotten that the Virtual Console was there day one.
What are some other choice ones besides Elebits?
Trauma Center was there.
Rayman's Raven Rabbits was a lot of fun.
The Virtual Console was dope because I didn't have a TurboGrafx, and so I spent a lot of money on the early days of the Wii Virtual Console buying, Bonk and, stuff like that.
Yeah, another good one.
It looked so good on the menu too.
It wasn't launch day, but it was launch window. Was WarioWare was superb with a group with a party passing that Wiimote around and doing all the
one section of the games was you put on the wrist guard and then you just dropped it.
Yeah,
remember that you just dropped the Wiimote.
Yeah. I thought smooth moves was kind of a bummer.
I liked it with a crowd. The hot potato thing was so much.
Hot potato was good. I've told the story of me buying my launch Wii before, where I denied a little 8-year-old boy the opportunity to get his Wii and started crying. I think the part of that story I've told is like the Target I was going at didn't have a midnight launch, but it was like 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. whenever the doors opened at the store. So I woke up at like 2 to go. So I drug my ass out of bed. It's November in Iowa. It's freezing cold. It might have even been snow flurries. And I don't have a coat on because I'm an idiot. And I'm just like, well, I'm going to be in my warm car and that's going to warm me up. Mm-hmm. And then.
But then there's lines at the door, so you can't do that.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what I was thinking. And as I was driving there, I got pulled over. Because I had an old beater car that didn't have like a muffler on it. And the guy's like, do you know why I pulled you over? And I'm like, no, officer, why? And in my head, I'm like, yeah, I know why you pulled me over. He's like, your car sounds like a jet airplane going down the road. And I used to get pulled over all the time for this.
Oh, crap.
And I told him the same thing I told all the other police officers. I said, yeah, I have an appointment next weekend to go in and get it fixed. Right. And so then he lets me go, and then when I'm driving up the road, my car window won't go up.
Oh, man.
So the window's stuck down, and I didn't even really, like, want the Wii that bad. It was kind of like a spontaneous, like, okay, I'll go get one. Mm-hmm. And then my car window was stuck down for months.
Well, you had to want one to get one a while, because they were very scarce. There was a lot of hunting.
If you didn't get one that launch day.
You know what was really crappy about that is that, like, in lines, they were very vague about how many they were getting when you call them, when you were there. So, like, I was in line at Walmart from, like, 10 in the morning till midnight. And I was 18th in line, and the guy I was with was 19th in line, my wife's brother. And we waited all day, and they actually came out in the morning and said there'll be 20.
Yeah.
So we're like,
yeah,
that's great. By the end of the day, there's 100. They stopped saying that. And they walked us through this little line to like pick up our Wii and whatever we want with them.
Yeah.
And they walked those people through to try to get them to buy accessories.
I
slowly planned that all day. It was so crappy.
I got mine 2 days after Christmas by going to a Target at like 5 a.m. And I just found one on a shelf that somebody had just laid out, picked it up, and it was beautiful. But we mentioned Virtual Console, and I do think that we shouldn't gloss over that.
Because, that was really significant.
Yeah, it's huge, because Virtual Console was emulation done right at a time when emulation was still very dicey and hadn't really been committed to by the other downloadable services at that point. Virtual Console, the Wii natively supported hardware resolutions for the NES and things like the SNES in very clever ways. So if you plugged in a Wii to your CRT TV, which most of us still had at that point, those games looked just as good as they did on original hardware, or very, very close. And the quality of the emulation was stellar, the price was right, at least for most of the games. The library was huge. They would release like 5-6 games a week there for a while.
Well, and for a while. It just went dead forever.
Yeah.
And then they screwed it all up on Wii U, kind of.
Well, Wii U Virtual Console is emulation quality-wise not even close to what the original Wii could pull off. But it was very exciting. I still keep my Wii for my emulated Virtual Console games.
Wii is the very first example of Nintendo, well, maybe the GameCube is, but especially on the Wii, of them really emphasizing the power consumption, which I always thought was strange.
I have a quote here from Miyamoto. Days before the Wii was released, Shigeru Miyamoto said, originally I wanted a machine that would cost $100.
Wow.
My idea was to spend nothing on the console technology, so all the money could be spent on improving the interface and software. Our goal was to come up with a machine that moms would want. Easy to use, quick to start up, not a huge energy drain, and quiet while it was running.
So they always go on, they've been going on about this. For 10 years, Nintendo's been saying, hey, look, our device is just as advanced as our competitors, but it's just advanced in different ways. You know, we output, you know, a fairly powerful, sophisticated image, but our power draw is a lot lower, and it doesn't give off as much heat. And in my head, I'm always like, who gives a shit? Who cares about what the power draw is?
Yeah.
But now, 10 years later, we have the Nintendo Switch. And Nintendo has made real, genuine investments in, you know, having powerful hardware that has that's not an energy drain. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I have, like, my conspiracy theory is that the battery life on the Nintendo Switch will surprise people, because for 10 years they've been building a hardware architecture that you know, that no one else is even really thinking that way.
That is an astute speculation.
So the Wii immediately sold out. It would remain sold out throughout the holidays of 2006 and throughout 2007. It was still really hard to find that system.
There would be like Wii Spotter blog. Like, you'd get like insiders be like, yo, my Target in Dearborn, Michigan just got eight Wiis.
Yeah. I remember I fly home to Kansas for the holidays, and driving around Kansas, there'd be like handwritten signs on the side of the road, like Wii available, you know, $1,500.
Yeah.
Wii for sale.
A lot of people didn't like Waggle. I liked the nunchuck in the Wii Remote. I liked the fact that the Wii Remote was adaptable into a side-facing controller. I liked the ability to plug different interfaces into it and use them wirelessly from across the room and switch off my peripherals. I liked the nunchuck quite a bit. I thought it was comfortable in my hand. I liked playing Zelda that way.
I like playing Resident Evil 4 that way.
Oh, that's right. Great. And that's what the presence of the IR sensor allowed for several very
It worked pretty well.
Yeah, as Resident Evil 4, Dead Space Extraction used it really well.
You get Wii wrist, though, you'd be like, ow.
Yeah,
I'd holding it up. Drop it on my couch.
There's all that weird
call
stuff.
It wrist.
Reached. Two R's.
People discovered that you could use candles in replacement of the IR sensor. You didn't even need it.
Yeah. So I did that at a
so
party
cool
once.
People discovered. And then all the shots of broken TVs was always just
And it was
totally
cheap
fun.
As dirt, and that was delightful. You could actually buy the thing. Anybody could have it.
The Wii is the third best-selling console ever. It is just behind the original PlayStation.
Mm-hmm. It also, like, when I go home every summer now. We don't go home at Christmas. And my sister has a Wii, and we use it.
Yeah.
Like, we play. Like, we get out Wii, and we party. And
I
like,
know the Wii lingers in people's households.
I don't think, like, people like my sister, she's much older than me. She's in her mid-40s. And I don't think they have any kind of sense of, like, console generations or anything else. I think the Wii is just going to be a thing maybe forever in her house. Just like dig it out when you have people over and play some fun games. It's like it's the equivalent of like a board game. Like you don't get rid of Monopoly just because a new board game is out. Like it's a fixture for I think a lot of people in their households.
To this day, I think I buy as many Wii and DS games as I do new games.
Today?
Yeah.
You're still buying Wii games?
I'm still buying Wii games.
Rare
I'm still
ones.
I'm still finding neat little Wii games that I really enjoy. The Wii had a better library than it gets credit for.
A Boy and His Blob?
Yeah, there's a lot of... Like, oh, that game's great.
Yeah, Zack and Wiki?
That's on the WarioWare games, really Zack good. And Wiki? Not WarioWare, the WarioWare
There's
Wario
actually
game,
some good
I mean.
WiiWare games, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mega Man 9 you should not be played on any platform but the Wii. It's just better there.
There's the Castlevania Adventure remake was good.
I like that game a lot.
The and Blaster Master
They made a new Blaster Master game?
Yeah, there was on WiiWare. Yeah, there were a lot of fun WiiWare games.
Okay, now consider today the reversal of fortune for both of these companies, for Sony and Nintendo. It's insane, like today.
It's more for Nintendo than Sony.
Well, yeah. Sony's back on top.
Yeah,
Sony
back
is
on
far
top.
The clear leader this console generation. They're back to being number one.
It's a tough struggle though.
Nintendo, yeah, well, they fought their way. They were humbled, and then they fought their way back up to the top. And Nintendo has really, like, they created this huge casual gaming market, and then that market abandoned Nintendo the second they had a smartphone in their pocket that could play free games, and it totally abandoned Nintendo.
Yeah.
Nintendo couldn't do any, they couldn't make the Wii
but
U
that,
work.
That same audience that has their smartphones are really ready for Nintendo games on their smartphones now.
So well, yeah, there's that.
It's a pretty big
Dude,
deal.
Dude, Mario Run is gonna make so much money. Does anyone have any idea? Like, Pokemon Go took over the Earth, and that game kind of sucks.
I love it.
Yep.
Super Mario Run, and they've been clear that's going to be a fixed price point game. Right? That's actually going
to
be...
It's a premium game, and I'm expecting it to be, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's, like, $20, $20-$30. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be, like, a real full-on...
I mean, I'm going to buy it. It's, yeah.
So, Mike, I have a question for you guys now. Do you think the Wii, as successful as it was, do you think it hurt Nintendo in the long run?
No, I don't, because I don't think they'd be... If they hadn't gone with that, then we'd be sitting in a console situation where we've got three different versions of the PC that happened.
Yeah,
it made
everything interesting.
Whoa. But my question is, do you think it hurt Nintendo in the long run? Like, look where they are today.
No, I think the fact that they diverged was actually good. I think the problem was the Wii U was the wrong diversion to follow up with.
I think they'd be even worse.
Are you saying if the Wii hurt them or the Wii U?
The Wii.
The Wii, Wii saved that company.
With the Wii, Nintendo they decided to pursue new audiences with underpowered hardware that had a novel gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the Wii's tremendous success, I think maybe Nintendo learned that hardware novelty was actually important to expand beyond the traditional gaming audience. So they ended up releasing the Wii Balance Board. They had their Vitality sensor that never came out. They have the glasses-free 3D gimmick on 3DS. There's a second screen experience of the Wii U. Gimmick hardware.
DS alone is gimmick hardware, but it's amazing.
I'm just saying.
Two screens.
It turns out that you're not letting me finish.
Okay. Sorry.
It turns out that I don't think that is how you keep that expanded audience, because that expanded audience abandoned Nintendo.
I think we're just disagreeing with you. No, I mean, I think like the Nintendo had been on, like, the Genesis beat the SNES sales-wise. The N60.
Nope, that's not true.
That's not true.
Is that not true?
Nope.
Okay. Well, then starting with the next generation, like, they'd been sliding. They slid with the N64, they slid further with the GameCube, and without the success of the Wii, Nintendo would have been in very, very dire straits. Mm. So did it send them down a path where they leaned a little bit too hard on gimmick hardware? Like, I don't know how to answer that, because they made billions of dollars off of,
Plus,
all the Wii's
that they
sold.
The DS was the same strategy, and I think the most successful hardware of all time.
Also,
the DS
is probably the most successful platform.
Brain training was remarkably popular.
However, we are ignoring one important part of that. Damon, I do see the point you're making, and they have ended up in a bad corner. I don't think they saw the cell phone thing coming. I think they wanted to create that market on different Nintendo devices, and did for a while, and then got slammed at their own game. But One part we're not talking about is the fact that those things weren't just designed to be gimmick hardware. They were also designed to make development cheap and simple. And that's a part of their business that I think has allowed them to survive. DS games were cheaper to make than PSP and Vita games. 3DS games, for that matter, were cheaper to make than Vita games. At the same time, Wii U games were low-res, easier art assets, easy to program for, familiar hardware because it was already built on the same architecture the GameCube had built on. So they were able to guarantee, and a lot of it turned out to be shovelware, but they were able to guarantee support for those two platforms. Where they failed going into the next generation was they didn't understand that that accessibility was largely going to evaporate in the face of the mobile space. So I think that their strategy was sound, and I think it worked. It just didn't work as long as they thought it was going to.
It's possible. For Sony's part, they were humbled by the PS3 launch, obviously. So they made sure that the PlayStation 4 was a lot easier to develop for. Mm-hmm. And then by the time the current-gen consoles launched, PS4 and Xbox One, it was Microsoft's turn to be humbled. And,
no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I actually think that's part of the subtext of why we're getting these half-generation, the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One S and the Xbox One Scorpio. We've talked about this a little on the show before. Every time there's a new console generation, that's an opportunity for to lose your fans. Like, the upside is, hey, it's an opportunity to gain fans and get people to jump ship to you, but it's also... These companies are rolling the dice with billions of dollars, you know, with a massive brand every single time a new console comes out.
Yeah.
And I think Sony and Microsoft desperately want to put a stop to that just being a giant gamble of, like, how many PlayStation 5s are we going to sell? We have no idea. Like, that's terrifying.
The Xbox One is more analogous to the Wii launch than anything else. They wanted to make an all-in-one system that's controlled in a completely different way. And it was all Kinect focused. It was all about...
Yeah, you remember that?
And they really focused on, like, you know, this thing that anybody could use without a controller and how accessible it is. And that just didn't work for them. And it's funny how it didn't work for Nintendo at the same time.
Well, their ability to backpedal from Kinect... I mean, you're totally right. Like, they've whitewashed Kinect. It to the degree of, like, you almost forget, like, a Kinect in every single box. And that was a console. Like, it was supposed to be a Kinect console, like a Wii. Console. And then they were able to...
I mean, for UI, for everything. Like, it wasn't just about playing their games. It was, like, they didn't even have any games for it. It was, like, it was just about controlling the system and how easy it would be in your living room. And it just didn't work.
What an expert example of... What an expert example of just corporate communication, like their ability to walk that back and be like, I don't know, forget about that. That was actually really, really good.
Yeah.
Well, they're fortunate that they have the massive resources to set on to let that happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that they were in that situation. Very much like Sony was, they were sitting on PS2 money and able to backpedal at the early part of the PS3 generation and turn the thing around, create a console people love. Microsoft was in a similar, if not better, situation with Kinect.
Thinking about all this, it seems that history tells us that there's room for multiple hardware manufacturers, but I don't think any hardware manufacturer has been on top for more than two generations in a row.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's
everyone sits up, they're on top for two generations, they get a big head, and then they are humbled, and then they have to sort of like claw their way back up and renegotiate with gamers.
Yeah, Nintendo did own handheld for the last three decades.
They have owned a handheld, they never had to.
Yeah.
I mean, even the 3DS, like, yes, iPhones are crazy and everything, but tens of millions of people have 3DSs and buy 3DS games. Like, that's incredible, going up against an iPhone.
Yeah,
that's
they should not have been able to pull that off, and they did.
I don't even know how that's possible.
Some shakiness in the PS3 aside, although, again, in the end, you know, ended up being a hugely successful console. PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, the fairly strong PlayStation 3 in the end, and now the PlayStation 4. Like, Sony's had a really good run.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just that launch, those first 2-3 years of the PS3 era, really kind of.
I think it was amazing watching the fans and audiences develop for those three systems. Like, when the Xbox came out, like, I couldn't have predicted a time in which we have a popular Xbox podcast and people defend the Xbox and they've only played Xbox games because Xbox Live was so strong.
It took a long time for that identity form.
And it was all like Halo and stuff like that, and it's still a little bit weaker than the other two.
I agree.
You know? I mean, Nintendo's Nintendo. And then Sony, like, now Sony has, like, these popular characters and franchises that are becoming movies and, like, all these things. That was all based on what Nintendo did.
I remember a friend bringing his original Xbox to my apartment and plugging in Morrowind and just being like, oh, wow, it's a gaming PC I can afford. Oh, wow. And I think that identity has worked well for Microsoft, and they never completely abandoned it, this idea that this is the kind of high-end, you know, communicative experience that isn't afraid of being a little more complicated.
Sony still doesn't have Halo. You know, they've tried with Resistance, sort
of.
Man,
I don't know if Microsoft has a Halo anymore.
Well, they have Uncharted.
Microsoft
also has Gears of War.
Halo 5 multiplayer, man, is...
It's good, though.
It's great.
I did not like Halo 5.
The single player was kind
of
so-so. The multiplayer
and Battlefield are bigger than Halo will ever be again.
Yeah.
Like, it really worries me, because I like
one thing, they're multi-platform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the brand identity or something for people to rally behind. Like, nothing that Sony does really quite reaches that level,
Crash
in my
Bandicoot.
Opinion.
Even Uncharted, you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a really, really big franchise. Those games have never sold the way that Halo sold.
Mm, that's a good point.
Which brings us to the Wii U, which is reportedly ending production this Friday, November 4th.
Dude, there's going to be so many rare Wii U games. I'm so excited, guys.
Oh, that's a good point. Start collecting those now.
Yeah.
So it made it 4 years. Mm-hmm. A short lifespan for a console.
That mm-hmm. Fire Emblem game from this summer, well, it's going to be so rare.
Wow. Nintendo has Minecraft, never hesitated to kill a failure.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about...
Except with the Wii U.
Oh, no, you think about the...
even
for a console lifespan, they hesitated some, but not too long.
Is
but
three,
you think about the
Virtual
Boy, they killed in 6 months. I mean, if it don't work,
incredible.
Nintendo kills it.
Yeah.
And Wii U, that abbreviated cycle, was a good idea.
It had 4 years. One of Nintendo's internal sales projections guessed they could sell close to 100 million units worldwide, mm-hmm. but they've ended at just over 13 million.
Mm. I'm surprised they sold that many.
13 million Wii Us. Mm-hmm. That's good. That makes it, what, the worst selling console
I'm
ever?
I'm so excited.
Oh, no, that's 5 million more than the Sega Saturn.
Which brings me to our topic. I have got 9 consoles that were outsold by the Wii U.
Okay.
9 right. home consoles. So let's work our way back. Released in 1986, the Sega Master System.
That's right.
Sold somewhere between 10 and 13 million units.
They have no idea about those last 3 million. Who knows?
A fine console with a decent library that did very well in Europe, relatively.
Yep. And two types of games.
Huh? It had good action games.
I mean, like, you could put in the cartridge.
Oh, yeah, the cartridges and the cards. That's right. No, and there's totally Master System games worth playing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. The TurboGrafx-16 sold 10 million units.
Now, is that the American, or is that NEC's whole PC engine thing?
I don't think I'm not sure if it includes the whole PC engine or not, because the PC engine wasn't released outside of Japan.
Right, that's what I'm wondering, because in Japan, the PC engine, I would figure did better than that. You find a lot of them around, and there's a lot of love for that thing over there.
The number I found was 10 million.
Yeah, that's interesting. No, I believe you.
The Sega Saturn. I was surprised the Sega Saturn outsold the Dreamcast. Released in 1994, Sega Saturn sold 9.3 million units.
Oh, I did more than I thought.
The Dreamcast, released in 1999, sold 9.1 million.
Well, the Dreamcast was killed in 18 months.
Okay.
Unbelievably low numbers for both those consoles. Yeah. Can you imagine an entire console only selling?
Yeah. Sega used to be one of the major console hardware manufacturers. They couldn't sell 10 million Dreamcasts.
In the United States, the Dreamcast had a year and a half lifespan. Like, it was just, it actually sold pretty well over here. It was in Japan, they couldn't get it to sell.
EA is going to sell more copies, not even more, way more copies of FIFA than Sega Dreamcasts that ever existed.
I bet there's more copies of one of those Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games out there.
Oh, that's sad to hear.
Oh!
We have a real big drop-off after that point, because the Intellivision, released in 1980, sold 3 million units.
Yeah, okay. That's far enough back that it's hard for me to even get a handle on, Mike, what was normal.
Those telephone controllers, love it.
That was
the gels.
That was a significant market portion at that point.
Snafu.
ColecoVision.
Game. That's a really good game.
ColecoVision in 1982 was just over 2 million units.
And that was killed by the market crash. That was a good console that actually had a pretty good future.
ColecoVision was created by the creators of Cabbage Patch Kids.
That's right. It was
the Connecticut Leather Company.
Yeah, it was effectively a Z80 with a Texas Instruments like off-the-shelf graphic processor. You could pretty much build a ColecoVision out of off-the-shelf parts.
You could also build a Cabbage Patch Kid, but it'd be really creepy.
Ooh, Cabbage Patch Kid cereal, man. That was creepy. Did you ever see that?
No.
You pour it out, and it's just a bunch of little baby faces looking up at you.
Did you
in
guys
a bowl,
have Cabbage Patch Kids?
And you have to eat them.
I had one, yeah.
My sisters did. I didn't.
Yeah.
I totally had a Cabbage
Damon
Patch
was so
Kid.
Confident as a kid.
No, I had a Cabbage
Patch Kid. They were like boy Cabbage Patch Kids.
He had
like camo. He was wearing that camo.
I had a Cabbage Patch Kid, and he was a boy, and his name was Kim, and that's how I learned that boys could be named Kim.
Interesting. Mm. The Magnavox Odyssey 2 was released in 1978. That sold 2 million units.
I can't believe we have sales figures for the Odyssey 2.
There's one good Odyssey 2 game. Casey Munchen's pretty good.
The Philips CDI.
Oh, that's
which had some more than one Legend of Zelda game.
Three
released for
Zelda games and one Mario game.
Three. Released in 1991. That sold less than a million copies.
That thing is an abomination.
No, just over a million copies, sorry. And the Atari 5200, also released in 1982, right at the crash, sold a million copies.
No, did the Atari 7800 sell more units than the Wii U? That's amazing.
No, well, actually, yeah.
I have one that sold fewer. The Apple Pippin.
Yeah, I was going to just say that.
Yeah, it was like the Sega had a kids console, like tablet thing that sold really well.
What about blue thing?
Are you thinking about the Bandai Playdia or the?
No, I'm thinking of the Sega.
Which
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I read about that in Console Wars, but I never saw one. I don't know where that went. Sega developed this like it's like a blue toy. Console.
Yeah, I can't think.
There's also the 3DO.
I was gonna say that list may be missing the 3DO.
Yeah, I was just running through these. I was wondering about the 3DO.
So the 3DO,
the Nighttrap was on it, so it probably did pretty well.
And also Neo Geo's not in here. Do they really sell more than 13 million Neo Geo's?
There's no way.
It had an extremely long lifespan, but it's hard for me to believe that they sold that.
Maybe they're not even counting. So if this goes down to like a million, maybe they're not even counting consoles that sold. Now, that much less than that.
The 3DO is unfairly besmirched, though. I mean, that thing was a ridiculous price point when it came out. That is actually a pretty good console with a lot of good games.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like, the hardware is not the failure there. It had a lot of shitty, FMV games on it.
The Horde starring Kirk Cameron?
Yeah, stuff like, oh, that's art. I don't know what you're talking about. But it also had quite a few very good games on it.
All right, Wii U, we hardly knew you. There's a great GIF going around of the scene from Lord of the Rings when Gandalf falls and they just put the Wii U over Gandalf's head and he tells Frodo, "Switch, you fools," and then he falls and Frodo's like, "No!" It's really, really good.
I love that. Gandalf. That's so good.
Yeah. All right.
But remember what happens to Gandalf after that.
Yep.
He stabs that Balrog.
Yep.
Comes back as Gandalf the White.
He does. That's true.
And smite my foe on the mountainside, or something like that.
He smote the mountainside in his ruin.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider is apparently the name of the next Tomb Raider game.
Dude, if you're working on an unannounced video game, stop working on your PowerPoint presentation on the train or on the
way.
Don't stop. Please, just keep doing it. No one's paying any attention.
It made me think, like, you could just, like, work up a little PowerPoint presentation that says...
Yeah, and just keep it up at the airport.
Yeah, that says, like, Mario Sunshine 2. And then just ride around BART. Just ride around BART and see if anyone notices
it. That is really good. Idea. Yeah.
So Shadow of the Tomb Raider, I'm just imagining Lara Croft climbing giant colossi. That's what I want to play now. Like it's a crossover.
I mean, I'm just glad it's happening. I love those games, and I know they're really beloved by a lot of people. I don't ever get the sense that they're huge hits, and so I'm just surprised. Like I'm pleased that they keep making them.
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember the first Tomb Raider remake. Square Enix said it was a disappointment because it didn't sell like
10 million copies.
Yeah, 10 million copies, but
only 5 to 6 million or whatever ended up selling.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they had their sequel, but of course the sequel is timed exclusive.
Yeah.
So hopefully
couldn't this be DLC or something?
We've learned their lesson. I guess. I mean, it's possible. Rise of the Tomb Raider just came out on PS4, but I think I think they do have future plans for this franchise. They want to continue. And if you played Rise of the Tomb Raider, you should know it ends on a cliffhanger.
Oh, man. It's so good, though.
It's a really good one.
The game is so good, and I was really surprised with the... It's kind of not a safe sequel. Like, I'm very, very impressed by those two games and its ability to sort of take it in a little bit different direction and introduce a bunch of new systems, survival systems, and really amp up the survival aspect of it. I'm kind of a big fanboy for those two games.
I like the first one, but I thought the second one was too samey.
I thought... Them leaning into that survival aspect and crafting aspect kind of surprised me, and I was pleased.
But I'm an Arkham fan, not an Arkham City fan. I feel like sometimes a game tries to do too much of the same, and the things I don't like as much.
If I had to just play one for the rest of my life, I would pick the first one, but I still really liked the second one, too.
When you keep talking about the crafting stuff and some of the new systemic stuff, now I just want a Metal Gear Solid 5 clone where I'm playing as Lara Croft. I think that sounds fantastic.
Metal Gear Solid 5 playing as Lara Croft. Just put so me you're on playing
big,
as Quiet?
Put me on a big island and let me do Tomb Raider stuff, except that it's Metal Gear stuff. Hmm. That sounds fun.
I was on my computer at the airport this last weekend, and a GameScoop fan said hi. So thanks, GameScoop fan, for saying that. That's cool.
Awesome.
I didn't have any secret 20 questions answers on my computer at the time. I think I was actually up during that time.
Shadow of the
No leaks.
We are in the middle of the holiday game rush.
Ooh.
So we're through October, which is when they first start showing up. But would it surprise you to learn that apparently holiday game sales are off to a slow start?
It would.
In 2016? GameStop says they are.
It's been a good year.
GameStop says the new game releases in October underperformed for that retailer in particular.
What were those releases, just real quick?
Well, that include I actually worked this out. This is pretty good.
Yeah.
Include Battlefield 1, Titanfall 2, Mafia 3, Gears of War 4, Elder Scrolls 5, Special Edition, Civilization 6, and a Resident Evil 7 teaser.
That's so good. Bravo.
Yeah. pretty good.
Well done, right? David.
And this is why you are a leader.
Did you set him up that way deliberately?
No, that was great.
No, I figured that out earlier today.
That's really fantastic. Yeah. And maybe therein lies a little of the problem. These are all
up. It's always hard to make a call.
It's hard to know what to attribute this to. I feel like our whole country, I don't know if it's the election or what, but like
the election is a huge bummer, so.
But everyone in like
people aren't even watching football. Did you hear about
I was
that?
Just really? That's exactly what I was gonna say. It's people in other circles, like NFL viewership has fallen off a cliff and everyone's panicking and no one knows where that whole audience is gone.
Are people just watching it online or something in ways they can't track?
Well, or it's just, look, I'm projecting now, but my own personal, just me, like Justin, I am just very, very anxious, and I don't feel good right now just as a person, and like I'm not really going to the movies as much, I'm not really watching as much TV, and like I just feel I'm very anxious about the country and the election, and I just, like, I can totally see why someone, if other people felt the same, they might be passing on, you know, the third
Shouldn't
or fourth.
Shouldn't they be, like, distracting themselves? Yeah, with, like,
don't they
want to
escape? They want to escape this nightmare?
Vampire. Yeah, but I blame vampires.
I also think, like, it's dark and dreary, at least in San Francisco. And when I get home, I have, like, some choices for how I want to spend my time. And, like, I love the Gears of War games, but it's hard for me to, like, sit down and turn it on and spend time, like, in that world. So, I don't know. I can see how other people might be a little fatigued by that same feeling.
We're in an economic downturn still, despite the fact that there are some good
GDP
signs.
GDP is bouncing back. It's up like 3%.
A lot of things are up, but the fact is that our unemployment rate is still tied to figures that don't represent actual employment and certainly don't represent underemployment.
Well, it's been a weird few years.
Yeah, I know.
But people don't have as much money as they did a decade ago in terms of real spending power. That hurts us, and I think Justin's right. There's a kind of a malaise.
I think pizza sales are way up. I'm gonna claim it right now.
I blame vampires. They're thinning out the herd. We just haven't noticed yet.
But we also vampires. If you think about the big summer movies, like a huge number of movies bombed.
Well,
you know?
But the summer movies just sucked.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like people kind of feel that way.
At least all these games are getting.
Yeah, these games are good though.
These games are good.
Mafia's all right.
Come on, digital sales.
That's true. Yeah, GameStop doesn't have
that.
This
is a GameStop report.
We are. This may not be reflective of like the entire sales across the entire industry. This is just one major retailer.
Yeah.
But the CEO of GameStop says our expectation was that new titles released in October would provide a catalyst for new software sales. But despite gaining market share, the titles underperformed our forecasted sales. Yeah. While the technology brands and collectibles segments continue to grow rapidly, which is like their added like amiibos and. Mm-hmm. Like phone, like iTunes cards.
Do you guys remember the PSVR? What happened to that?
He says they will not offset the decline in gaming this quarter. Yeah, PSVR also came out this month, but I don't think it really moved the needle.
No, it didn't.
Speaking of Titanfall 2, apparently Titanfall 2 is having a really rough start. Not in terms of like reviews, it's supposed to be a really good game, but analysts are calling Titanfall 2 sales substantially disappointing.
Yep.
Might be because it was released in between Battlefield and Call of Duty.
EA, man, don't release your
Gears.
Two big first-person shooters 1 week apart.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
EA's CEO, Andrew Wilson, thinks those games serve two different audiences. He says, we think there's really three types of players. Three types of players. People that really love Battlefield and that kind of big strategic gameplay that will orient in that direction.
Okay.
The player that loves fast, fluid, kinetic gameplay of Titanfall 2. And the player that just has to play. What the two greatest shooters this year will buy both.
So he's saying that Battlefield doesn't have fast, fluid gameplay.
That's what he said.
I think of Battlefield as fast, fluid, and kinetic.
Those are
the three words I think of.
But Battlefield 1 specifically does slow down the Battlefield gameplay. You know, thanks to those World War I.
I think he should have gone with the horses versus robots argument.
Yeah, that
would have been better.
That would have made
more
sense.
Do you think people like horses more than robots?
Yes.
In Battlefield, definitely, of course.
I'm only saying, you know, what the public has spoken, Damon.
Yeah.
This is not my opinion anymore.
You're right. You're just an observer.
That's right.
In the UK, sales of Titanfall 2 were barely a quarter of Titanfall 1's launch sales. Jeez. And Titanfall 1 was an Xbox One exclusive.
I'm there. Totally.
We're going to work on a horse.
Horizon Zero Horse. Horse.
We have to edit this out.
The exclusivity thing is kind of weird. I think it's hard for me to put my finger on. Maybe you guys can help me. But I definitely feel like Tomb Raider being an Xbox One exclusive, Rise of the Tomb Raider, for that first year, just sucked the air out of that franchise in some way, and people kind of shrugged their shoulders. But sometimes people can rally around an exclusive, and Titanfall being an Xbox One exclusive probably bolstered that games in a lot of way. It gave the Xbox One fan base something to sort of get behind. But now that anyone can just go buy it on whatever platform they want, I don't know. It sort of feels like it puts it in a different category.
Yeah, maybe.
I wish I had more insight to offer to this. Titanfall never grabbed me, and so I'm not particularly interested in the sequel.
I really appreciated the movement and fluid, you know, I mean, it's right, the fluid kinetic nature of how you move around in that game. But
fast fluid kinetic.
Andrew Wilson was right.
But I mean, EA CEO Andrew Wilson completely nailed it. But I'm just not, I just don't play, you know, very many online shooters like that in general.
So this one has a campaign now, so I want to play that.
Yeah, me too.
And I did appreciate the fact that they did try to do new things with the verticality and stuff like that. It's really cool too.
Metal Horse Solid.
Hopefully this is not indicative of the industry as a whole, but GameStop sales of games at GameStop were down 67% year over year for the third quarter.
I mean, I genuinely, in my heart of hearts, believe that, like you're not competing for people's money, you're competing for people's time. You know, kids are out of school at 3, you know, we're out of work at 5 or 6, or, you know, whenever you go home, and you have 4 hours to spend. And, like, television has never, ever been better. So why?
TV might be ruining this for everybody.
Well, like TV and Snapchat. TV, Snapchat, and
you're including
texting.
Stuff like Netflix in there too.
Yeah, so it's like I feel like kids are gonna go home, you know, and watch Netflix or you know, use a texting app with their friends. Texting app makes me sound so old, but I just mean, you know, they're on their phones communicating with people, and that's what a game like Titanfall 2 is competing with for a lot of people. Yeah. And what crappy summer blockbusters are competing with are, you know, some of the best television and some of the best, like, you know, a boring, long, slow NFL. Game, like I don't know.
I'm not going to defend that.
All right, well,
I think they're boring and slow too. Jared likes football.
No, I like football. I've been a football fan for a long time, but I'm not watching this year.
I think there's a whole generation of people that think it's boring and slow, and there's a flag every other play.
And I'm one of those people that's not tuning in for the first time. For me, it's actually been the increasing realization of just what the violence is doing to people. Mm-hmm. I used to really enjoy watching pro football, but the more I watch now...
realizing?
Huh? Well, I know that sounds ridiculous, but there's a difference between, oh man, that guy's going to walk around with a broken leg for the rest of his life, which was bad
it's
enough.
It's definitely starting to
feel
weird.
For the rest of his life?
Yeah.
Or he can't fix his broken leg?
Well,
the sport is changing because it's getting faster, and you have, you know, 350-pound linemen that can sprint faster than any
of us. Is it slower or faster?
And the results of the damage of traumatic brain injury, but also what happens...
They're crashing into each other at higher speeds.
You know, my wife was in a terrible car wreck a couple of years ago, and I'm starting to understand what that kind of injury means for a lifetime. When I talked about the broken leg for the rest of your life, I actually meant that. It never quite heals right. Mm-hmm. And so that has made a difference for me this year. So that's a weird game skip thing.
But you're still an avid bungee jumper, so I think you're a little bit...
Yeah, I'm going to be all right there, yeah.
All right, now is the time on Game Scoop when we play video game 20 questions.
Yes, I have a new strategy, Damon.
Yeah.
Don't share the strategy with him. He'll pick harder games.
It also didn't work last week.
No, it's a different new strategy.
Oh, okay.
Last week's new strategy was very close. It is our fault. We were in the right circle to get that game.
Yeah.
How about you just ask
questions? We'll try to predict what your strategy is.
The new strategy is that I am reading Damon's emails before the game. So
that would actually be Scoop. That would actually be a smart move.
Over his shoulder.
This is where we take suggestions from you, the listeners and viewers. Remember, you just email me at gamescoop@ign.com for your suggestions. This week's comes from James in Miami, Florida.
Okay.
Let the questioning begin.
Well, I'll lie in Miami, because it's Miami.
Damon, do you or your opponents or, you know, anyone else in this game have hit points?
Yes.
You mean, like, that's what it'll be called and everything?
Wow, hit points, that's amazing.
You're asking what?
Well, like...
HP.
Yeah.
Hit points.
Yes.
Good.
Wow.
Good.
Okay. So almost certainly.
Because
RPG.
I don't know what to call it in like Castlevania.
But do we want to? Let's
RPG-esque. You know, could be a shooter. Could be. You know.
Yeah. Let's ask which. Is it an RPG? Let's see if he answers, because then we can get a free question if he can't give an answer.
I'm trying to think how to answer that question. What's the most
accurate?
You
have two options.
Dude, yes. I once argued with Dan Stapleton for 10 minutes about what an RPG was.
Yeah. Because of the binary nature of this game, yes.
There we go.
Excuse me?
Yeah. I don't understand what that means.
I mean, what if it's like some questions aren't yes or no questions.
Okay.
If you're, or can't be answered with a simple yes or no.
If you're forced to choose, then yes.
Yeah.
Basically, I screwed us by making him answer that fast.
We should get
is it a Japanese game?
Ooh. Yes.
Okay, Japanese.
So that does eliminate, you know, weird edge cases. Well, that eliminates, in my head, I was thinking, like, it could be a weird Diablo-type situation or a weird Borderlands-type situation or Deus Ex. That actually knocks out a lot of stuff.
It could be a genre mashup, though. For example, like a Google 13-type thing or something like that.
Yeah, but it does eliminate a lot of those.
Yeah.
Because Dan, again, I argue with our reviews editor, Dan Stapleton, about whether Diablo was an RPG or not.
Well, I get that argument. I mean, that's a fun argument to make. It's...
It was terrible.
Do you guys want to go for years, or do you guys want to do other stuff?
It's absolutely an RPG.
Hold on. Let's keep on.
All right, so maybe why don't we narrow the years down? Let's get the years. That sounds good.
Did this come out before January 1st, 2000?
No.
Okay, so it's an after 2000 game. Wow, okay.
Japanese,
a Japanese after 2000 game.
Game with hit points.
With hit points. Boy, that could be a lot.
Sounds like Dark Souls.
Ooh, let's see.
Oh, and it's not only with hit points. It's yes, an RPG.
This game soft, yes. Featured on Nintendo hardware.
No.
Okay. Ooh, that was a burner.
No, it wasn't. I was thinking there had a lot of specific, like, there's a lot of Nintendo exclusive action RPGs.
Since 2000?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Is this a game from after 2010?
After January 1st, 2010? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm. Very recent. Well, you're right. I should ask that first, because then I wouldn't have I said it. Oh, no, that's still fat, actually.
It's okay. At least we know it's not... I can't even name a game after 2000. Nah, my
head was Project Rainfall for all this stuff. So.
Wow, after 2000.
Xenosaga?
Yeah. Huh? Xenosaga Last Story, or Xenoblade Last Story, there could have been a lot of
Is this generally thought of, or you know, most often sort of pictured as a console game?
Yes.
Generally thought of as a console game. All right.
Because so I thought he might be pulling some cell phone trickery on us or something.
No, that's really
good. Or PC.
That's really good.
Is it part of a series?
No.
Okay.
Wow. Again, because of the binary nature of this game, no.
Should we ask a license then?
Maybe, we could ask about a license. Is it a license game?
No.
Okay. All right, well, we're in good shape. We know roughly the genre. We could talk about control scheme. We could ask about...
Modern-ish RPG on a console.
Mm-hmm. Modern-ish.
RPG-like.
So this could be...
RPG-like.
And from Japan. That's a big one. So let's think about our developer.
2010 doesn't necessarily mean current gen.
Yeah, it can be old gen. We can narrow that down.
Yeah.
But it's sort of as a console RPG. So it's probably not Monster Hunter, which is almost entirely a
handheld game. Well, you asked about PC?
I asked if it was played on console.
Not part of a series. That would be Monster Hunter.
Is this game on current gen hardware?
No.
Okay. That's good.
Late PS3.
Late PS3 360.
Okay. That's 10.
Yep. All right. We have every reason to get
Should we recap?
Yes.
Yeah.
Japanese made RPG. Not a licensed game. For us, not part of a series. Primarily known as a console game. You have hit points.
Ni no Kuni?
I mean, that comes to mind.
I don't know why it would have taken so long to call it an RPG.
Well,
yeah.
That would be tough.
Still, Ni no Kuni would not be. Let's see.
Should we ask if it's downloadable mainly?
Well,
that always helps. Yeah,
I would think
down,
like I would think like Child of Light or something, except that was U.S. made.
Mm-hmm. So that's not going to be it. But Ni no Kuni is a really great guess.
And that's on contemporary systems.
It did get ported to contemporary systems. Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Well, I forget how we asked that.
I said it. Yeah. I mean, it's a last gen game.
Okay, so are we saying Ni no Kuni, yes or no? It's a possibility.
I mean,
it's too RPG-like.
It fits the criteria.
You would just say, yeah, it's an RPG.
It does fit our criteria.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm just trying to think about other
ways. Well, there's plenty of other games.
I mean, should we... okay.
Yeah, things like Seventh Dragon or...
Is this exclusive to the Xbox 360?
No.
All right.
Same question, PS3.
Oh, wait, are we sure we want to use that?
Well, we might as well, I mean.
Well, like, that's burning a couple of questions. They're pretty fast.
All right.
No, ask it. Go ahead. I'm being rude.
We haven't asked anything. Is this a PS3 game?
You're asking if it's exclusive to PS3?
No, it's just, is it on PS3?
Yes.
So it's on both.
It's not exclusive to Xbox.
Or it's either on PS3 or it's on both.
Jared didn't like that little exchange that just happened.
I'm
just
very confused.
Just think of PS3 games. It makes it easy.
All right.
It's on PS3. We don't know.
Yeah, we know it's on PS3. So there's a lot there. I mean, it could be a Tales game. But it's not part
it's
of
not
a
part
series.
Of a series.
So it's not a Tales game. Maybe we should just try to narrow it down by the people who create. Oh, wait, I have a thought. I think I might know what this is. Is this a Capcom game?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. This is probably what's the thing Capcom made that was Monster Hunter for America. What was that called? crap, I'm going to remember that Dragon's Dogma is a possibility. I think that that fits the time period, that fits the maker. It's not part of a series.
Yeah.
It's RPG-ish.
Yeah, I agree with all that.
We were just talking about Dragon's Dogma. I wonder
Does this have turn-based combat?
No.
Yeah. So
is this a game
we should have asked that earlier?
Features,
probably.
Dragons?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dragons.
Is this a game that features Dogma?
Yes.
So Dragon's Dogma. We did it.
That was really tough. We wouldn't have got that one without you, Jared. I don't think.
I was worried about that one.
I remember it existing. We just talked about this.
And published by Capcom. Released in 2012 for 360 and PS3. Released for PC this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did a little semi.
That would have thrown us off.
It's like a semi remake, right? I think it's got some new stuff in it.
And it's action RPG. That's why I was a little.
Why do you think it's not part of a or what's the series?
A sequel was released in Japan. Dragon's Dogma Online.
Really?
But it was only in Japan.
Yeah, that was a great answer. You really nailed it. No, that was fun. That game's worth checking out.
It's a single player, it's open world game, and it got good reviews.
Yeah, I would say if you're going to play a Monster Hunter-ish game now, I think just go with the 3DS one that's out right now. But Dragon's Dogma.
Perfect Star, score in Famitsu.
But if you want to play on a console, then Dragon's Dogma.
I played some of that when it came out,
and
I had fun with it.
Yeah.
Capcom put out some interesting games right around that time. They put out Asura's Wrath. That same year.
I forgot
that's one. I always get those two mixed up because I didn't play either.
Asura's Wrath is all QuickTime events.
Yeah,
that's the one
QuickTime event game, which is also pretty cool, actually.
So it's the Wesker fight from Resident Evil 4 for like 8 hours.
Yeah,
wow.
But in a really like,
the demo at E3 was really funny for that. Yeah. It was like giant punches.
It's just like a crazy, very unique one of a kind.
I can totally see that being a game that demos, like you demo the E3 and you're like, that was awesome, and you get the full game and you're like, well.
Real quick fun fact before we break this week. A new study finds that most mobile gaming, despite its name, done at home.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, that hurts.
Mobile and portable gaming happens on the couch.
Why does that hurt your heart?
It hurts my heart because...
Are people playing games at home?
It's true for me.
Oh, I love when people play games at home. So here's why it really hurts my heart. It comes up to the subject earlier in the show. Mobile gaming wounded Nintendo, and I irrationally, and to a point of irrationality, love Nintendo, and it makes me sad. Mobile gaming can be viciously and horribly predatory sometimes.
Sure.
As well as wonderful and tremendous sometimes. Yeah. I'm playing Final Fantasy I on my phone right now and having a ball with it.
Mm. Yeah, you can't really, I don't know that I would say that about mobile gaming.
It's all sold through one place. That's the problem that drives me nuts about it, is that it's easy for me to focus my anger in one place when I should be more rationally focusing at specific studios.
Mm. You say you're playing Final Fantasy I on mobile.
I am.
What are the rest of us playing?
Oh,
you still playing World of Warcraft?
Damon, let me tell you what. Yeah. I am playing World of Warcraft. Yeah. My Shadow Priest finally reached level 100.
Is this Book? Ooh.
Yeah, this is Book the Shadow Priest. So that means
did you tell a story on here that someone recognized you in World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
You were like, is this Justin from IGN because of your name?
I joined a guild, and they knew the guy's a GameScoop fan and knew that in an offhand way I'd mentioned my character name. And so that was pretty fun. So I'm in the Broken Isles now, which is the new content. So I could have been. When you buy the expansion, they want you to experience the new hot stuff. So they let you boost a character to level 100 and just start right away with that. But I chose not to. Like, it's about the journey, not the destination. So I started at level 1, and it's taken me 2 months. Mm. And I finally did it. I'm level 100, and I'm finally experiencing, like, what everyone was experiencing 2 months ago when the expansion came out. And I have my artifact weapon. I went through. You go under the lake in Tirith's Fall Glade to get your new artifact weapon and defeat to get my Shadow Priest artifact. And I'm having a ball, David.
I'm glad. Sam, how about you?
I'm playing an iPhone game called Inks. It's like a pinball game where you draw. Like every time you hit something, it splatters ink everywhere, and it's like puzzles with pinball. And it works pretty well.
Nice.
It works well. It's just that my phone is the smaller, older model, and I'm playing Gears of War 4.
Mm. Also just started Owlboy, which is just gorgeous.
I can't believe it. I think I like wrote about that game years ago.
10 years ago.
For IGN.
That game's been in development.
It's crazy that it's out there. But I'm glad it turned out well. I think it's
pretty
I also want to name drop Plants vs. Zombies Heroes. People are calling it a Hearthstone clone. It's not. Nope. It's really different mechanically. But
not any more than Hearthstone is a Magic the Gathering clone.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a very, very polished. I expected it to be kind of a throwaway Plants vs. Zombies card game. But it's actually very thoughtful, and it's very strategic. And
Are you guys going to try Gwent? It's in beta.
Yeah, I'll play Gwent.
I'm in the closed beta right now.
I felt the same about Elder Scrolls Legends, which is their card game. I'm like, well, this is very sort of just a flavor of, hey, we have a fantasy franchise. Let's make a card game. But it's doing interesting things mechanically, too.
Legends is the two-lane one, right?
Yeah. Gwent, actually, Hearthstone, Plants, Gwent, and Elder Scrolls Legends are four strong card games, all doing four very different things.
There's actually a fifth one that I enjoy called Shadowverse.
Oh, yeah, I haven't checked it out.
That has like really, really beautiful anime art in it, too. And it's fun, also. It's also free to play. It's crazy. I have a copy of Titanfall 2 ready to go that I'm looking forward to playing.
Nice.
But
I gotta hook that up.
Darkest Dungeon still has its hooks in me.
Oh, that game's so good.
I'm playing Darkest Dungeon every night. It's incredible.
Cool. So I gotta get that one. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's really tough, though, and you gotta sort of like commit to it. But once you figure out how to get through it, I'm a big gameplay like loop guy. Like it just has such a satisfying loop that I just go over and over, round and round and round again.
Did you ever get into Etrian Odyssey?
I borrowed Dustin's copy of that.
Still have it.
And that was too convoluted for me.
Yeah.
So that's like an example of something that's too dense for me.
That's another one when you get into the loop. It's just.
Perfect. Did you play Rogue Legacy?
Love Rogue
Legacy.
That's a perfect example.
You would like Risk of Rain.
I want to play Risk of Rain.
I played Risk of Rain. But I think Borderlands is the same way. Disgaea obviously the same way. I love those games, for sure. That's all the scoops we have for this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Sam.
Scoops.
My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop. And we're out. Let me tell you how I get to work. I get into my car, drive it out to Arlington. Don't even think about it anymore. In traffic with the other jerks, take exit 44, drive a half mile underground, and then I go to war. Got hired on a DARPA grant, a month-long fellowship, that was 1999, now I run the fucking ship. There's a picture of the president and me. He's smiling for the camera, but only with his teeth. I thought it would be different in the Virginia underground. They said I'd make a difference. They said I should be proud. I wish I could remember, but I am not allowed. You'll never know what hit you. I'll never make a sound. Six, just lighting up the map. Started double boxing it, so they sent me to Iraq. They put me up in the Sultan Suite at the Palestine Hotel. Got some fiber and an M15, and I started raining hell. Two Marines outside the door and another on the roof. I never left the building once, but it sure beat the commute. By the time they shipped me home, I wasn't sleeping anymore. Got some pills from the Langley boys, and I started seeing stars. I thought it would be different in the Virginia underground. They said I'd make a difference. They said I should be proud. I wish I could remember, but I am not allowed. You'll never know what hit you. I'll never make a sound. Last night I had a dream about you, same as all the rest. Everything in black and white except your summer dress. On a field of static moving down below. You're smiling for the camera, but I have to let you go. I thought it would be different in the Virginia underground. They said I'd make a difference. They said I should be proud. I wish I could remember, but
I am not allowed. You'll never know what hit you. I'll never make a sound.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.